Good morning. It's Saturday, 2nd of January. Our middle reading today is Psalms 3, 4 and 5. I'm going to read to you from Brother Dudley Fifield's book, The Praises of Israel. Brother Dudley links these three psalms to the time of Absalom's rebellion against David. Here are some of his comments on Psalm 5.
David's plea is wrought in sorrow. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray.
The Hebrew word rendered meditation is instructive. It has been variously interpreted as silent musing and as a low murmuring, connected particularly with grief and mourning. The idea of silent musing, of carrying on a conversation with oneself within, is beautifully expressed by the words of Psalm 4. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And the connection with mourning and sorrow is illustrated in the life of Isaac, for when Abraham's servant brought Rebekah to be his wife, the record tells us that Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and the chapter concludes with the statement that after their union, Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We would not wish to give the impression that meditation springs only out of sorrow and adversity, but it is nevertheless true that when we are in trouble, when faced by the harsh realities of life, sobered perhaps by grief, it is then that we find it easier to reflect in silent contemplation upon the relevance of God's word and the reality of his presence about us. It is in this context that it is sometimes difficult to make a distinction between meditation and prayer, for the one passes so easily and naturally into the other. Our inmost thoughts and desires are recognised and acknowledged by God, though having no audible expression. Oftentimes, though, meditation will lead to the pouring out of our hearts before God, as David made his cry unto his King and God. The associations of the word cry, when traced with a concordance, show that it has an intensity associated with it that springs from adversity and leads the godly man to implore God to hearken to his voice. See, for example, Psalms 22 and 28. The Spirit of David, the Lord's anointed, who sat on the throne of the Lord over Israel, is surely seen in all its loveliness as, with his own position threatened as wicked men sought to depose him from his throne, he could recognise the sovereignty of his God, who was truly his King, and on whose behalf he reigned. It was God's kingdom, and he but his earthly representative. That God would hearken to his cries and deliver him, David was confident, for he knew the character of the one who had exalted him to be his anointed. He has no pleasure in the wickedness of men, and consequently David's enemies, those who sought to do him harm, could never prevail. For thou art not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not sojourn with thee. The boastful may not stand before thy eyes. Thou hatest all evildoers. Thou destroyest those who speak lies. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful men, as we read in verses 4, 5 and 6. So David is able to look forward to the day when, because of God's faithfulness, he would come again into his house and worship towards his holy temple. As he contemplates his plight, the apparent power of his enemies and his own weakness, David reflects that humble spirit of dependence upon God in which he delights. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Thank you for listening.